Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to John Gallagher of the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare podcast. All right, well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. My name is Sam Shoes, and as you can see, we are missing Mr. Jeremy Brown. Jeremy, we miss you, brother. Seems like you're only on every once in a while, but we know you got work to do. So, brother, miss you. Can't wait for you to get back on the show. But I'm joined by my sister in Christ, Miss Kira Star Truth Soda. Soder? I don't know. It's Kira. Kira, how are you?
You just need to start saying Kira Star. We're good with that. Listen, amazing.
I've got to get you a nickname.
It's I gonna have happen. One. I'm Kira Star.
We'll come up with something. But that's neither here nor there. We have a guest tonight, and I'm actually kind of excited to talk to this gentleman. His name is John Gallagher, and he is with the, and I know I'm going to screw this up, but is the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare podcast. Did I screw it up?
You nailed it.
Yes.
I know it's a very long name. So when I got to give out my email address, it's ridiculous. I should for the email address, I should have done BSRW at Gmail, but I didn't. I don't know what I was thinking. So my email address is super long.
That's like the email address my wife and I have. When people ask us for that and I start rattling off, you just kind of see their eyes glaze over. So, but how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Just came off of a big weekend on the coast, Mississippi at Gulfport, outreach of the beach. I got to praise and worship with several bands and Christian hip hop artists, and I've just figured out I am not in my 20s anymore. I'm definitely in my late 40s, so I'm still recovering from that. Literally have a Holy Spirit hangover.
Very nice. Oh, hang on. There you go. All right. Sorry, I lost you for a quick second, but I think I got you again. So, back a couple weeks ago, I had put out, hey, we're looking to have some podcasters on. We want to talk to you about your show. We want to come on and talk about our show. And you were one of the first that reached out and was, hey, I want to come on. So,
yeah, yeah, actually, Kira brought it up before that post even got released. I'd like to talk about that for a second. So Kira, she's been with Black Sheep from the beginning. She actually saw one of my first episodes. I think it was the fourth episode, and she made a whole TikTok video about it. And it ended up on my end of the screen without even being tagged in it. And her and I have been connected ever since.
Yes.
So
I still need to make it down to you so I can be on your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. But even if you can't, we can. We have the ability to do remote also. But I prefer in studio. But we have
to go to that studio.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, we'd love to have you anytime. Well, on God's perfect timing, it will happen for sure.
Yeah, but you are the very first shirt that I've ever received. Ever, I put it right there for the show.
That's right.
Like, because everyone sends me shirts now, but you are the first that I ever had. Like, that's how far we go back. Awesome.
Amen. Yeah, we're in year three. We've got about 60 episodes. But for your viewers and listeners that don't know what we do, it's called Black Sheep Recovery Warfare Podcast. We take people in the studio. They share their stories of how they were lost in the darkness of addiction, like I was for over 30 years. And how Jesus Christ came into their lives and set them free, like he did for me 5 years ago. That's what we did. We've had some big names on there. We had Brian Head Welch on there one time. He came down to an event, recovery event for us, and was gracious enough to do a podcast. He brought Anthony Santana with him, good friend of his, and. If you go to the YouTube channel, you can watch all the episodes. But you know, for this particular Rock for Him podcast, I think that would be of interest to your viewers.
For sure, absolutely. And So talk to us a little bit about what you guys do on your show. I know you explained it a little bit, and I was telling you before we started that I've only gotten to listen to one of your episodes so far since I was introduced to your show. And I mean, it was pretty fascinating, but can you just kind of explain to our listeners and viewers what you guys do, what your show is about?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of darkness. It's not just confined just to addiction, you know, substance abuse or drug addiction. There's sexual abuse. There's all kinds of darkness. There's just we'll take anybody in the studio that has a very intense testimony, and we'll interview them and prayerfully, and I clip out the shows, and the idea from the beginning was everybody in addiction has a phone. Everybody in darkness has a phone. Everybody has a phone. So if they catch the right clip from an episode that they can relate to, then it might draw them out of that darkness. It might lead them down a path to Jesus Christ, or even into recovery, or to seek out help.
I love that.
That's why sharing your testimony is so important. People need to see that we do recover, that we do heal, that we do find freedom. And you guys do a really good job of going into the deep detail, all of the dirt of what people were in and then how Jesus brought them out. It is right. So amazing.
We are very raw. We are very real. You know, we don't really hold back. We don't spend, we try not to spend too much time in the darkness, but unfortunately, that's a big part of the testimony. But it always, you know, circles into how they got led to Christ. And you know, we're 10 toes down on that scripture, Revelation 12:11, is what we stand on, is that people will overcome by the power of testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So we, you know, that means that, you know, you don't have to know the Bible back and forth. You don't have to stand up there and preach and teach. You can literally get up there and share your testimony and the things that you witness in your own experience. And of course, it's going to have scripture written all over it, you know. That's the idea of it, is to use the power of testimony to lead people out of the darkness of addiction. Yes.
Amen. And this is one of the reasons why I love doing live podcasts on social media. We got some comments here from, let's see, Patrick Durkin.
That's my brother.
Yes. Says, two percenters, stand up.
All the way up.
Yes, we got Harry Becker from Filthy Rags. Harry, it's been a minute since I heard from you. He says, oi, oi. Yes, sir. Jesse, hey, Kira, Jesse from Bright Star is watching. Jesse says, she says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's so important. And Patrick says, love you, bro. I'm assuming he's talking to you.
Okay, so Boston 2% has been, he's been on the show twice. If you get an opportunity to interview him, he would be killer on your podcast, bro. He wrote the Meth Bible, and he is in the middle of writing the sequel to it, and he has got a very powerful testimony. Y'all, please go to the YouTube channel, Black Sheep Recovery Warfare, and watch his two episodes. They'll change your life. Just those two episodes will change your life.
Especially, well, Patrick,
especially if you dealt with demonic meth psychosis. Those two episodes will be for you.
Patrick, reach out to us, brother. We'd love to have you on and talk. So, tell us about, I mean, obviously you've had Patrick on. We talked earlier about Kelly Kay, about Head. So, tell us about some of these guests that you've had on and what they've meant to you personally.
Absolutely. All of them are very special to me. If somebody asked me, you know, what's your favorite episode you've done? I can never nail it down. I could never give an answer, but one that is very heavy on my heart is the Ricky Blackwell episode. She was she's a friend of mine. You know, we do all these recovery events all over Mississippi, and I knew her, and I knew of her. We were around each other a lot, but I didn't know much about her story. And about a week before she was to be sentenced to go to prison, a friend of mine reached out and she just came up in passing. And I said, well, what about, we were planning an event and I knew she could sing. I said, well, what about Ricky? And he said, well, Ricky is getting sentenced next week. She's probably going to be doing some time. I said, what are you talking about? So he filled me in on what was going on. I immediately felt the Holy Spirit tell me, well, you have to do this episode before she goes. Because the girl's on fire for God. She had the complete transformation. It seemed unfair at the time that had to happen. She was facing some serious time, like 40 years. Well, she's still in her, you know, mid to late 20s. I think she's 27, 28 now. At the time, she was just a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. So she came in, she did the episode, and her mindset, and I'm not going to get into her testimony. You can go watch the episode. But her mindset that she had was she was at peace, and that she knew that no matter how much time that judge gave her, that he was sending her in there on a mission to make disciples, to bring women to Christ behind bars. And when I tell you that in a year's time, that she's been there, we talk all the time. In 1 year's time, she's already helped start a recovery program behind bars that she helped write the curriculum for. She has just about free reign over the prison. She can come and go as she pleases from one building to another. She's a very well-trusted trustee. She is in New Orleans Theological Seminary to get her bachelor's, so she's in college. And so when she got sentenced, you know, she did get sentenced 40 years, but he suspended 30 of them. So she will serve a minimum of 7, I think, if she paroles out. Her first parole, when she paroles out, if she gets parole, she will have served 7 of 40 years. And then when she comes out, she will be, oh, and she's already brought multitudes to the kingdom in just 1 year's time. So that one really is near and dear to my heart, was Ricky Blackwell's episode.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Kira, ask a question. I'm going to write her name down because at the end of the show, we always pray for our guests, but I'm going to add her to that prayer list just because.
And actually, you know, I can also send you guys a picture of her with her address. If any of your viewers wanted to send her letters or words of encouragement also.
Yeah, if you would do awesome. Yeah, please do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so beautiful. She clearly is anointed. I love that she had peace going into that. That's amazing. How to make a really, like, you could see it as a bad situation, but she turned it into such an amazing situation. That's why I so badly want to go, be able to go into the women's prisons and to share my story with them. Because, you know, fortunately, I don't have to go to prison. God, you know, saved me from that for some reason, but it would be.
We are very much involved in prison ministry around here. I'm not allowed to go in a prison yet. I can go in the local jails because I'm still on parole, but that's all changing next month. But there are a lot of women and men here that have never been in prison that still go in and are able to minister and share the testimonies to the inmates.
I love what you guys are doing. Like you ever since I met you, you've gotten busier and busier and busier. You are constantly, it seems like, booked with events and all these things. I mean, how do you manage doing all of that and still have a personal life?
So that's very easy for me to answer. Jesus is my strength when I'm weak, because I'm tired a lot. Because I do work. I have a business, but I have a very tight-knit, close circle of people that that I've met, that the Lord had restored to me in my recovery, because I lost my family. And so I have a very tight-knit circle, very small circle of people that are close to me, that that encourage me, that stand 10 toes behind me on everything I do. They help me. They're, you know, very much behind the scenes of Black Sheep and other ministries. And so I say all that to say this, that part of my life is my personal life, and I enjoy it and I love it so much that I have so much joy in it, that that my personal life is shared with a tight circle. But the recovery community that's established, and everywhere I go with, there's so much joy in that, that it, that is my personal life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Are you ready to start making Black Sheep recovery warfare in different states?
Absolutely. Actually, you know, we've done a few things outside of Mississippi recently, but I, looking at my calendar coming up in April and May, I'll be in Louisiana in May for sure. I'll be in Oklahoma in September. So yeah, we are branching out, you know, getting out there to other states to grow the podcast. You know, we've organically grown the whole thing. You know, I don't pay for promotion or anything like that. Self-promote. You know, I don't pay for the, you know, you can promote your reels and TikToks and things like that. I've never done that. I won't do that. I just think it's a waste of money. I think growing something like this that's anointed and ordained by God, it's important to let Him grow it. So, but looking at the analytics, you know, we're just the Spotify and the iTunes and the Apple and all that, you know, we're being downloaded in China, wow. Japan, United Kingdom, Australia, you know, Canada, all over the world. And that blew my mind. I could not believe it. That was mind blowing to me. But yeah, to answer your question, the goal is to, you know, take this show on the road, you know. Somebody told me the other day that, you know, at this thing I was at, you know, that in ministry, connections are currency. So, you know, that really kind of pricked my heart when he said that, because really that means that the connections that you make along the way in ministry are going to provide the way for all these things to happen. So I've made so many connections in the past, since I started Black Sheep Recovery Warfare, that we have the ability to pretty much go anywhere. And we just got a trailer that we can haul everything. And, you know, we raised the money to do that by throwing a recovery event called 99 Fest. It was great. We raised just enough money to get that. Just put the decals on it. It looks amazing. We took it on its maiden voyage this past weekend to Gulfport. And turned out great. So, so yeah, all the stars are aligning, you know.
I love that. Always have a place here when you come to Ohio. If you ever come to Ohio, and I'm telling you, Dayton could honestly use you. Like, if I had you guys to back me up, we could do some great things here.
Absolutely. Actually, one of the main guys that I wanted to meet and talk with at Outreach to the Beach this weekend was Dre Day Ministry is from Ohio. So he performed. Y'all look him up. He's really good. He's pretty awesome. And he's got a very powerful testimony. Might have to reach out to him too. You know, he agreed to be. His will absolutely have to do remote. You know, Ohio is 10 hours from us. So, but yeah, I'm excited for the future and things to come as far as getting out there and getting Black Sheep out there to more eyes and ears.
For sure. And hopefully, you know, this is a way to do it. Like, I know you don't need us to promote your show,
but I do.
But there are listeners that have not heard of you that watch Rock for Him. I see a couple of them right now are commenting. They're going to go, they're going to go download your shows now. Matter of fact, John Coral, one of our listeners, wants to know, how often are your episodes uploaded?
Okay, so we've been on a long break. I think I've done 2 episodes since November, but we're fixing to get them on a strict schedule Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock is an allotted slot for us. I may not be able to get in four in a month, but I'm gonna dedicate to at least put out two, because again, like Kira said, I'm super busy and I do run a business too that keeps me very busy also. So I'm gonna commit to two a month. So they get uploaded immediately after they're recorded in the studio to the Podbean, which goes out to all the Spotify, iTunes, Apple, and all that. And then they're also uploaded to the YouTube, because we go live on YouTube and Facebook at the same time. So, but if you want to get updated with all things Black Sheep, and if you want to get connected with Black Sheep, we just launched our new website last week. I'd love for y'all to check it out. My brother Damian Donald worked very hard at it. Big shout out to him at Power Digital Media. If you need a website, holler at him. His name is Damian Donald at Power Digital Media. He's got a link on my website. So it's blacksheeprecoverywarfare.com. You can from there you can get to the YouTube, the Spotify, the all of it.
That's awesome. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, hosting and running a podcast and a ministry, because what people don't understand is these really are ministries. Yes, it's a podcast. Yes, we get to talk to some fantastic people, but we're not doing this for fun. Like, I truly believe this is a ministry, and I don't know about you, but I absolutely pour my heart and soul into this. I know Kira does the same. Jeremy, who just joined our chat, he does the same. Like, 7 days a week, I live and eat Rock for Him. Like,
yeah, I get that, brother. Let me tell you, when I tell you this, that yes, I do have a business, and I do work very hard, but I can tell you that about 70 to 75% of everything that I make goes into my podcast. I self-fund it pretty much for the most part. I pay for all the studio time. I pay for, for everything. I do my own editing, I got guys like Damian help me out, here and there. And, I had to pay him to do the website. It's a lot of work that went into that, a lot of work. And, for sure. And so, but we do, we are a nonprofit. We do get donations. I have a few dedicated people that pour into the ministry very often. If anybody wanted to help out, donate, there's ways to do that through the website. When I tell you, like, from the jump that I believe, that I know that God put this on my heart to do this for a reason. If it cost me every dime that I made, Paul was a tent maker. Aside from the donations and help that he got from his followers and supporters, he still made tents. I live and breathe Black Sheep, I live and breathe Christ.
Yes.
Without him, none of it's possible. He provides everything that we need. I put it all in his hands, but I love doing it so much. It's just an honor to be able to be the hands and feet of his hands and feet in this capacity, with a digital, ministry like we have. But we do, we're not just this. Now we get out in the trenches and we go out, we do a lot of outreach. Yep. We go out, I was homeless. So I go out every opportunity I can and do these, go out and help the homeless. We feed them, we clothe them, we pray with them. We try to get them in treatment. We try to find them places to go. Just yesterday, I had a young lady reach out to me, last night, reach out to me, need to get into some treatment. And I've been working on that most of my morning, trying to get that taken care of. So, I mean, I have a lot of resources with faith-based recovery. I don't know how many, emails and phone calls and text messages and messages on Facebook that I get that need that. So God gave me that ability to connect people with all these different recovery. And I do utilize secular secular rehabs also. I believe in all paths to recovery, because it's a stepping stone to get to Jesus. And it gives me an opportunity to share that with them. So, yes. But that's what, we've been called to do. And, it's just an honor to be his hands and feet in that capacity, and to use something like social media to reach a broader audience is pretty awesome.
For sure.
That's what I love about you. Is we share the same heart for all that. Yeah. And yeah, if you ever have anyone that needs any sort of treatment and they're near Ohio or in Ohio, I got you covered. Just reach out to me. I can get them into treatment immediately.
Amen. Absolutely. We can do that.
Yeah, where I was going
to. You. Where are you? I'm sorry. Sand socks? Sand shoes?
Sand shoes, yes.
Sand shoes. Where are you located at?
I am up near Flint in Michigan.
Flint, Michigan. I said, Kira, I said sand socks.
Listen, sorry, I've been called worse. But, you know, like, you know, Kira was saying that this is her heart that she wants to do kind of the same thing that you are doing, helping people. I think that is honestly the next step in the Rock for Him ministry, is helping Kira get that started. Like, we're almost to the point where we can start, you know, getting little bits from social media. Mm-hmm. We are almost to the point where we have our not-for-profit ready to go.
Yeah.
And I really believe in what Kira's ministry is. And, you know, I know Jeremy does too. And we really think that that is the next step in our ministry, is that outreach, helping our sister out.
Like,
absolutely. I've said from the beginning, I want no money coming my way. Like, we have spent so much money on this podcast. We don't bring anything in, but once things start coming in, I think we need to start helping Kira.
When I tell you, my podcast, it doesn't bring anything in. We depend on, we throw these recovery outreach events, and we make a little bit off that. I know Kira wants to do that too. She wants to throw these events, and I can tell you, sweetheart, just remember what I said earlier. Connection is currency.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shaking the right hands, that divine appointments. There's no such thing as coincidence. And if God laid that on your heart to do something like that, it may not happen this year. It may not even happen next year. But if God put that on your heart, it's going to happen. I promise. If you would have told me 5 years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have laughed in your face.
For sure. Listen, I got to tell you a story about how that happened for us. Like, shaking the right hands. We had a guest on who reached out to me, local guy, and he's like, hey, I want to bring on my producer. I was like, okay, nobody ever does that. Like, no musician's like, hey, I want to bring my producer on. Like, all right, you know, that's fine. And literally right before the show comes on, I'm like, well, I want everyone's name that's going to be on so I can make sure I address them correctly. He goes, well, do you know who Andrew Stanton is? I'm like, disciple Andrew Stanton? He's like, yeah, is it okay if he comes on?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. So the entire time I'm telling the other guys, play it cool. We're here to talk about Eddie. Just, you know, Andrew's just a guest. Play it cool. Because I'm like a huge Disciple fan. So the entire show is going great. I'm trying not to nerd out on this guy. And all of a sudden he starts talking about Disciple. And I just broke loose. I was like the squealing little girl meeting like her, like Backstreet Boys. And our old co-host Riker is texting me. He's like, bro, chill out. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That's so awesome. And then that led to the entire band coming on. Like, those meetings, it's like God ordained it. It had, you know, it could not have happened without him.
Yeah, I mean, I got a similar story. So after I got out of prison, like, I knew God put it on my heart while I was in prison as long as I was obedient and I stayed faithful to him and just depended on him, that he was going to give me a platform that was going to lead people out of the dark of addiction. At the time, I didn't know what that meant. But when I got out and got introduced to Celebrate Recovery, I started witnessing all these powerful testimonies. And You know, there might be five people in there, might be 15, might at max like 40 people. And I was like, man, you know, that testimony is so powerful. It might change 40 people in here. But if you could get that testimony out to the world, you know, it might change thousands, hundreds of thousands, whoever. There's no telling. And so, the word podcast just kept coming up into my mind. But at that time, I'd never even watched one, you know. So I started talking about it. Just started really just kind of talking about it with some people. And you know, there wasn't negativity about it, but it was like, oh, you know, you got to have a studio, you got to have all this money, you got to have, you know, at least pay for studio time and all this, that, and the third. I didn't have anything. I just got out of prison. I didn't have any money. And, man, I just gave it to God, dude. I told God, if that's what you want me to do, you're going to have to do it. I can't do it. I can't do anything. It's all, you're going to have to make that way. And just a few months later and a few handshakes later, I was introduced to my producer. And pitched, you know, just told him what was on my heart and what I wanted to do, and he pretty much gave me a studio. He did our first 15 or 20 episodes at no charge, you know, until we built, you know, up a little bit, and you know, I'm paying him now. But yeah, you know, I didn't do anything of that, none of it. It was just divine appointments and connections.
Yeah, you know? Man.
Prayer and faith.
That's it.
Amen.
So, John, will you tell us a little bit about your testimony? How did you come to know Jesus?
So I like to say that, you know, I was exposed to Jesus at a very young age, just like most of us were. You know, I knew the Sunday school Bible stories, that kind of thing. But I never knew Jesus, but Jesus knew me. And, you know, I was in addiction for over 30 years that started with alcoholism when I was 12, on into the military where I got kicked out for my cocaine habit and alcoholism and among other things. At that point, early 20s, I'd already gotten off on crack and meth, all the things, you know. So, and there were periods in the 30 years that I was in addiction where I was dry. I would dry up a little bit, but I always sublimated with something. Like it would always be alcohol, just alcohol for a while. And then I would lapse back into those harder things. And, it all came to a head. It all got serious really when, I messed up a long, 12 year relationship I was in. And I just, spiraled after that. Into some serious meth addiction. And at this point in my life, I hadn't used a needle. And, you know, just like most of us said, I never would. At least I'm not shooting up, you know. But finally ended up leading into that, which, you know, my little sister was very much into. And we lost both of our parents within about a year or so of each other to cancer. So that both of us kind of spiraled after that. And, you know, that's about the time I started getting in some serious trouble with the law and, in and out of jail. So every time I got out of jail, I would just end up at my sister's cause I didn't have anywhere else to go. And there was needle use and ultimately ended up using, being, a needle junkie on heroin. And I remember that while this one time I got out of jail, this was the first time I knew, she revealed to me that she was using heroin intravenously. And she made a very bad mistake when she told me, you are not allowed to do that. You're going to love it and it's going to kill you. And so ended up doing it anyway and overdosing. I don't even know how many times. I have no idea. I don't know how many times I was Narcan, woke up in the ER, you know, being Narcan, bathtubs with the water on you, being slapped repeatedly in the face. And, but I do know that my little sister broke my sternum 3 times to save my life. She begged me to go to rehab. And, so I did. It's my first real experience with rehab. And, you know, I wanted it. I wanted to change. I didn't want to do drugs anymore. I hadn't seen, you know, I'd burned every bridge that that I'd walked across. I burned the biggest bridge with my daughter at the time was 15. at that point, I hadn't seen her in a couple of years. And, you know, I really wanted to change my life. And, you know, on the 27th day, you know, I already had a secondary setup, a 6-month program to go into after that first 30-day program. They came and pulled me out and informed me that my little sister died that morning of an overdose of fentanyl. That, you know, that sent me over the edge. I just went completely numb. I had no feeling. I mean, it's just something inside of me broke. Like, it's like some kind of receptor that's connected to my brain that connected to emotions just severed. And I left that program, that rehab, and willingly walked back into the darkness with no intent of coming out of it. And this led into several months of hardcore use. I had a death wish. I was homeless, wandering the streets of Jackson, Mississippi, if you can imagine that. I don't know if y'all know any much about Jackson, Mississippi, but it's like one of the most awful places on earth now. I mean, it's where I grew up, but now it's like a third world country. It's like taken over by the drug dealers and the, you know, all that. But anyway, so I'm wandering trap house to trap house, through the woods a lot, the streets of Jackson, and was in complete psychosis, was completely out of my mind. I was in some very serious warfare and demonic oppression. I was witnessing things that can only be explained if you're a Bible reader, you know, that would only make sense to you if you were a Bible reader, but I know it was real. And at the time, I just thought I was going insane, and because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know what I was going through. And then something happened a few weeks leading up to this particular event. I knew, or I felt like, and I knew that I was being led by God through it. I knew that I was being protected. I just had a knowing of it. And but again, you know, I just had no emotion of feeling that I was under so much, you know, demonic oppression that I honestly didn't know what was real, what wasn't. It was chaos and it was insanity. So I decided to unalive myself. I couldn't take it anymore. But God was trying to break through all that. I was it seemed like any time that I was I was going down that right path toward Him. For instance, this one particular instance, this was a few days before I decided to do it. I threw up my arms and I said, "Okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. I can't do it anymore. I don't want these drugs anymore." Blah blah blah, all the things. And I'm telling you, this white beat up car pulls up. I'm at a gas station. It pulls up, the guy reaches across, opens up the car door, and tells me to get in. And I get in broad daylight, hands me a pipe and a lighter, and says, "Hit this right now." I mean, just forcing it on me. I'd never seen this person before in my life. Looking back, I know that the devil had to have sent this dude just to keep me high, you know, to keep me in bondage, because I was trying to change my mind. But that just kind of went on and went on. And so the day I was going to do it, I was going to unalive myself. It got very intense. And I was wandering through the woods, and there was this big dead oak tree. It was big enough to where it had an opening in the side where I could crawl inside of it. I could literally stand up in it. There's a lot of room in there. And I had it in my mind, well, if I do it here, there'll be nobody around to resuscitate me or Narcan me, and nobody will ever find me. You know, not that anybody was ever would be looking for me or anything, but that's just what was in my head. So I got on the phone, and and I found some. But in a last ditch effort before I left to go get it, I decided to call my ex, because of everything that I was witnessing demonically. And I mean, it was like there was war. I mean, in the sky, angels, demons. I was seeing things in the tree bark. I was seeing just all this around me. It was insanity. It was chaos. But I decided to call her. She was in Florida at the time. And her father was a very Holy Spirit filled man. I wanted to try to explain to somebody what I was going through, and maybe they could help me. And if anybody could, it'd be him. So I got him on the phone, and I was explaining to him everything that was going on. And I was standing in a carport, and on the concrete of this carport was a lot of different colored chalk, where the person that lived there, a friend of mine, she had written all these things, people's names in different colored chalk, and all these hearts and all this other stuff. And it was like a 8-year-old had done it, you know? So I'm talking to him, and I told him, I said, you know, I know that God is trying to do something. I know that he's trying to tell me something, and I don't know what to do. And he said, how do you know that this is from the great I am? And as he was saying that, when he started that sentence, I'm looking at all this on the carport, on the concrete, and the chalk, all that chalk started moving. Okay. And as he was saying, I am, it formed the word I am in big letters on the carport, you know, as he, like the same exact time he was saying that, you know what I mean? But, you know, obviously, I think he thought I was crazy. And I think he thought I was just very high. And so I just went to go get the fentanyl. I was going to do it. I was tired because I thought at that time, you know, I thought this is obviously because of the drugs. I'm hallucinating. And I'm on my way to get the fentanyl. And God created some circumstances for me to get arrested. We had stopped at a gas station, and I went inside, and there was a young lady in front of me. Or I thought there was a young lady in front of me. For all I know, she wasn't even there. But the young lady looked, sounded, moved, and was just almost exactly identical to my daughter. I thought it was my daughter. And I hadn't seen her in a couple of years. Looking back, I just think that God put that imagination in front of me to distract me. But when she paid out her she even struck up a conversation with me. And this is exactly what I looked like. This is exactly what I looked like in that store. Now, what 14, 15, 16-year-old is going to strike up a conversation with a dude look like that, right? So she sounded like her, moved like her, looked like her. And I think that was just a distraction from God. He was trying to help me. But so she walks out of the store, and there's this backpack at my feet. And so thinking it was hers, I pick up the backpack and I walk outside to see if it is hers. It's not. And at that point, the person I'm riding with was ready to go. So I just, being homeless, I've always got backpacks, you know. I just, you know, nonchalantly just throw it over my shoulder and I get in the car. No intention of leaving with that backpack. I had one thing on my mind, and that was getting back to that tree, you know. So poor girl, she didn't have any idea what I was planning. Well, she takes me and she drops me off at my ex's, where they live behind or in front of a storage unit place that has some of my stuff. And I was going to write two letters. And this is where I was meeting the guy, too. I was going to write two letters. I was going to write one to her and one to my daughter explaining that, okay, look, I'm leaving the state. I'm starting over. Don't look for me. And I just didn't want them to think that, to know what I'd done. And, So I'm getting into my storage unit because where all my stuff is that they're keeping for me, and out of the blue, I'm surrounded by about 8 or 9 police cruisers. They get out, guns drawn, slam me to the carport, screaming, "Where's the backpack?" And I'm like, "Jesus, what is in this backpack?" You know, they were acting like I had kilos of coke on me or something. It was crazy. But again, I'm also out of my mind and crazy and psychosis. And they get me to this, it was because of the backpack, obviously. They get me to this holding cell in Richland, Mississippi. And by the time they get me there, I'm enraged. You know, I'm in a full blown rage. And I start cursing God. I start cursing Jesus. And that was another last ditch ever. Maybe he'll throw some lightning through all this concrete and just take me out. And that's not what happened. God showed up in the cell, and the presence was so powerful that it put me on my knees. Like, not by choice. It was every knee will bow, you know. Nose to the concrete. And then I felt arms wrap around me. And I knew in that moment that Jesus was holding me. And the best way I can describe it is that you're being held or hugged by everybody that you've ever loved and everybody that you've ever cared about in your life all at the same time. And then this love just, it filled every pore in my body and it flooded into my heart. And I just wept. I cried, you know, I don't know how long it lasted, but when it was over, I was of complete sound mind. And since that day, I've never wanted to touch a drug ever since. I've had no desire for another drug ever since.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And thank you for sharing that. And I want to turn you on to something else real quick. That someone else you might want to have on your show that has a very similar story about meeting Christ and never touching another drug again. Jeremy from End of I. Talk to him. He shares his testimony quite a bit. Like every show he plays, he shares his testimony. And it's impacted me. I know it's impacted Kira. And his story is quite similar. I don't want to share his story. I want him to share it because it's that powerful.
Yeah, I'd love that.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll tell him to reach out to you. He's a good friend of ours. And I'll have him reach out to you because I really think that you should hear his testimony. It's fantastic.
I would absolutely be honored.
Unfortunately, though, we are quickly running out of time. I just wanted to throw a couple of real quick things at you here. Our listener, John Coral, he says, from your knowledge, is there any resources that provide recovery or safe houses at no cost rather than court mandating it?
Yeah, in my area, I know of in the state of Mississippi, it's very easy to get into faith-based recovery and get sponsored to do so without paying a dime. For men and women, yes. Mercy House Adult Teen Challenge here does it. They just opened a women's facility close by to me. There's other ones called Beauty for Ashes. I mean, I'm talking about, this is local in Mississippi, and they, you know, those resources are absolutely available, yes. You know, like secular, you know, they're going to require insurance and stuff. These faith-based recovery that I have the resources for don't require that. They do accept, you know, tuition, but if you don't have it, they're going to find a way to get you in there. God always provides, you know.
Okay. So, John Coral, if you know someone that needs that type of help, please reach out to us. We can put you in contact with John. I know Kira's got some contacts. She can help out. We'd be more than happy to put you or whoever needs the help into contact with whoever can help them.
Yeah. I've got a lot of resources here in Mississippi for sure.
And also there's a Monica Weber that's on. She says she's very proud of you because what the enemy meant for destruction, the Lord turned into a testimony. So that praise God for you.
That is actually my co-host, and I was going to shout her out before we got done, but I'm going to do it now. Shout out to my co-host, Dr. Monica Weber. So when y'all go watch these episodes, you'll get to see how special and how brilliant she is and how big her heart is. She is absolutely amazing, and I love her so much.
Well, why isn't she on the podcast with you?
I'm in my bedroom, bro. No, she's also a very busy woman also, and she has her own church, her son pastors, and she just started a new job, and she's got a lot going on herself. I would absolutely love for y'all to interview her. She's got a very powerful testimony, which you can see. I did an episode of her on testimony on the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare before she was my co-host. Y'all have to go check it out. It's very powerful.
So before we get out of here, why don't you tell the people who don't know how to find your podcast, how they can find it, and how they can listen to you?
You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, anywhere where you listen to a podcast, iHeart, all the things. I have a TikTok page that my dog has hijacked. I'm just kidding. No, I do. My algorithm's all jacked up on TikTok, but you can find me on TikTok, Facebook. You can follow me at John Gallagher or Black Sheep Recovery Warfare. You can visit our website, blacksheeprecoverywarfare.com, and that will get you connected to, you know, all of our things. But I mean, you know, my favorite is the YouTube. If you just go to YouTube, because you can literally watch the episodes. So the YouTube is the same thing, Black Sheep Recovery Warfare podcast.
And love it. Love it. So we will put, in our show notes, we'll put all that on there so people can find you and listen to you. So one thing that we love to do for our guests is we love to pray for you. So how can we be praying for you and the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare podcast?
Yeah, just, just pray for these clips and these episodes to get in front of the right eyes and ears to need to see these episodes. And also, you know, just pray for provision, these things, you know, as you know, cost money. You know, we'd love to build a new studio outside of where we are now. You know, obviously be run by the same producer, but he's done accrued so many clients, it's hard to get studio time. So I'd like to have my own private studio. But the main thing is that you just pray that these people that we meet at these events and these people that are watching these episodes, that their eyes are open, their hearts are ready to receive, and their ears are open to these testimonies in Jesus Christ. That's the goal.
All right. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Before we run out of time, I want to shout out a few people. I want to shout out Koshi and Caleb, my boy Justin Yates, Brad Hancock, Tara and Steve. I know they're probably watching. Anybody that's ever watched a Black Sheep episode, y'all know who y'all are, and I love y'all so much, and thank you for all your support.
Amen to all of that. So, all right. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out of here tonight. Real quick, though, I just want to mention to everyone watching, if you could just drop a prayer real quick for our brother David Patacone. He is not doing well right now. It unfortunately looks like he is going to meet the Lord quicker than what we want. I know he's ready, but we're not.
Well, we'll be in prayer for that for sure.
So please be praying for him. So anyways, I'm going to pray us out of here. Great and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing John here. And I thank you for his show and his ministry. Lord, I just ask that you watch over him. Just give him the strength that he needs to do all that you want him to do. Lord, we know that what an undertaking ministry can be. So I thank you for him and for everything that he does. Lord, I ask that you just continue to watch over what he does. Let him be honoring and glorifying to you and all of that. Lord, just continue to bring the finances needed for him to continue on. Lord, I ask that you watch over Ricky Blackwell. Lord, just continue to bless her and put a hedge of protection around her in the women's prison and just give her strength to continue preaching your gospel. Lord, I ask you watch over our brother David Patacone. Lord, he's been such a blessing to so many people, and so many people love him and care for him. Just help us to care for him, care for his family. I know he's ready to meet you, but Lord, we're not ready for him to go. But it's not about us. And above all else, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die for our sins on that cross. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And for those watching and listening, I always forget to do this, but I just want to tell you that if you have Facebook, join our Facebook page, join our Facebook chat group, because we post a top 15 list in there every Monday. You vote for the top 15 songs of the week, which I play on Saturday mornings. We have a YouTube page. Just hit our link tree and go through and just follow us everywhere on there. It helps us out. Click that subscribe button, like a few of our videos, and we would appreciate it. And if you're on TikTok or Facebook, you see that lady over there, Kira, go find her, follow her, subscribe to her. Her videos are fantastic, and you are going to get some truth out of it. She spits the truth in all that she does. So we're so appreciative of her. But, Kira, you're up, sister. Land this plane.
This has been so awesome. And John, I really, truly am just so proud of you and how far you've come. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to continue to do in your ministry. And I know eventually I will get down to Mississippi to meet you in person. Amen.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much for being with us tonight. And remember, if you're going to rock, rock for him.
That's right.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below. And don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Stay tuned, because coming up next week, we talk to the guys from To Fight For.